Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today, for this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, we ask you to have your way today. Bless us only you can. Help us to be not just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. We love you, and we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Young lady walked into the office with a smile on her face, greeted everyone. Everyone greeted her. She went to sit down at her desk, still smiling from ear to ear. One of her coworkers looked at her and said, "What's going on?" She said, "Oh, nothing," with a smile on her face. She said, "Oh, no, come on now. Something's going on. What's going on?" She looked at her office worker and said, "Bang!" Of course, you know the next reaction, right? All of the women started screaming. He put a ring on it. Oh, man, she was so excited. She was so happy, showing everybody that engagement ring. After as long as they had been dating, as many hints as she had thrown out, he finally popped the question. Excited because he put a ring on it. She was proud of that ring. She didn't care how many carats it was. She didn't care about the clarity or the quality of the diamond. She didn't care if it was yellow or white, if a band was gold or silver. She was proud of that wedding ring. Everybody she saw that day got a chance to see that ring. All the family members, FaceTime, got to see the ring. Zoom, conference call, got to see the ring. Every conversation he had, her left hand was conspicuously up in her face. So folk would say, "What's that on your face? What?" Say, "Oh, that thing." Here's my question. As proud as people are, especially ladies of their engagement rings, brothers, we tend to be that proud of our new whip. Get that new car. Want to invite the brothers out. Check out my new ride. Right? We're proud of it. Are you as proud of the gospel? When you came to faith in Christ, when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that was probably the most excited you had ever been about the gospel and the power of God to save. But not unlike that engagement ring that begins to fade in value until a wedding date is set. For many of us, we were excited when we got saved, and we wanted to tell everybody about the good news that Jesus Christ had saved us. But some things happened over time. Our excitement began to wane when family members began to look at us funny and talk about us, especially when we came off so legalistic and so judgmental. Or maybe your life didn't live up to the gospel that you were talking about, and they looked at you as a hypocrite because you said one thing, but it seemed like you were living something contrary, completely different. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want to renew your faith, your fervor in the gospel. I want to encourage you today to live proud of the gospel that has changed your life. I want to conclude a message we started on last week entitled, "How to Be Proud of the Gospel of Jesus Christ." Why you should be proud of the gospel. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, would you raise your hand? And the ushers will get one to you. If you're watching, you can download our outline using our app. Go to your app store, wherever you get your apps, and download the Good Hope Church app or go to our website, goodhope.org. In our text today, Paul talks about something that we should never be ashamed of. He talks about the gospel, something that we should be so proud of that we should talk about it. We should celebrate it. We should share it with others every chance we get. Paul came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ after an encounter with the Master on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. His name at the time was Saul. He experiences this life-changing encounter with the Lord. And then the Lord has to speak to one of his servants, Ananias, and let him know that he desires for him to go and disciple this new convert by the name of Saul. Ananias is not anxious to encounter Saul. As a matter of fact, there's a suggestion that he thinks Saul is running a game. He's pretending to be saved because Saul was the number one persecutor of those who claimed to be part of the way, the church of Jesus Christ. The Lord assures Ananias that Saul's salvation is real and tells him to go and disciple him, pour into him, because he has a great work that he wants to do through this man, Saul, whose name would later be changed to Paul. And it's out of that experience that Paul shares his commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he uses this word obligated. He says, I feel obligated because of all that God had done for him. He felt obligated to make himself available to be used by the Lord to help change the lives of men and women that he would come in contact with. And so here is Paul sharing with us this call to share the good news of the gospel. Why should you be proud of the gospel? Here's the first thing. Number one, you should be proud of the gospel because it is based on the power of God, not the persuasion of people. It is based on the power of God, not the persuasion of people. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the text says, the ESV, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Now, this idea of shame can refer to distancing yourself from something that you don't want to own, but it also has in it the connotation of the disbelief of something or the lack of validity or the failure to believe in something. Paul wants you and I to understand that when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not about us, it is all about God. He says it is the power of God unto salvation. One of the reasons I think many of us are ashamed of the gospel, listen carefully, is because we base our sharing of the gospel on our ability instead of on God's power. So we believe because we're not worthy, because we have failed more times than we'd like, or because we're not able to articulate like other people can articulate, or we don't know as much of the Bible as somebody else does, that my inability to persuade people causes me to have some shame of the gospel because I can't present it in the best way. Paul says, no, it is not based on your ability to persuade. It's based upon the power of God. And it's whether or not you allow the power of God to manifest itself in your life that you can see God do some amazing things through you. Dr. E.V. Hill, one of my mentors, would tell the story of a revival he decided to do at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, where he was the pastor. He stood before the church. He said, listen, he said, we're going to have a revival at the church. And everybody started cheering. And he said, and our guest revivalist is going to be Dr. E.V. Hill. And everybody looked and they said, Pastor, you going to preach it? He said, I'm going to preach the revival. And man, everybody started cheering. And he said, now there's just one condition. You can't come unless you bring somebody unsaved to the revival. He said, every night, if you're going to come, 5 nights, I'm going to preach 5 nights. Every night, you've got to bring an unsaved person to the revival. Dr. Hill told a story. He said, now, what was interesting was his highfalutin folk didn't show up. Folk who were stars in California, movie stars, they didn't show up. Highfalutin church officers didn't show up. Chairman of his trustees didn't show up. Chairman of deacons didn't show up. Dr. Hill said, but there was a little lady that everybody called crazy. She was there every night with a new sinner. He said, one night she left church. She said, Rev, I'm going to be here tomorrow. She said, I got two coming tomorrow just in case one of them don't come. He said, in that week, I think he said 47 people gave their life to the Lord that week. One of the most successful revivals they had ever had in terms of soul winning. He said, but the interesting thing was it was the person who everybody said had no sense who brought more people to faith than the folk who had all the sense. See, it's not about you. It's really about God. And too many times when we talk about the power of God, that word power is the Greek word dunamis. It is a reference to the supernatural power of God, not human power, not human strength. It is God's power. It is God's strength. And here's what I need somebody to know. You are getting in the way of God using you because you don't believe God can use you because you don't think you can be used by God. And God says, no, it's not about you doing it. It's about you allowing me to do it through you. It's the power of God that wants to work in and through your life. Stop limiting the power of God being able to work in your life and through your life because you can't do it. The truth of the matter is, if you could do it, it wouldn't be room for God to do it. And if you could do it, God wouldn't get the glory once it gets done. Is there anybody in here over the last year or so when we started talking about rooted and grounded and made the shift? Is there anybody who has seen and experienced God doing some things in your life that could only be explained God did it? See, if you're still waiting on you to do it, then you'll never see God do it. Paul was not ashamed because he knew about the power of God. He experienced it firsthand. He was a witness that the power of God saved him, and he was a witness that the power of God could save other people. And God says, I need you to walk in that same belief. Believe that it's the power of God, not the persuasiveness of people, that will change people's lives. Here's the second thing. Number two, you should be proud of the gospel because it is the power of God to save anyone who believes. Everybody say anyone. Circle that phrase there, anyone. Because it is the power of God to save anyone who believes. Verse 16, Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The New Living Translation says, I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The text references the Jews not because they were better than, but because chronologically the gospel came to them first, came to them through a little Jewish maiden who gave birth to a Jewish baby boy by the name of Jesus. They would call his name Emmanuel because he would save his people from their sins. John chapter 1 says he came unto his own, talking about Jesus. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave them the power to become the sons of God. We were not born as daughters and sons of God. We are God's creation. We are not born as his children until we become born again. One writer said it like this: the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons and daughters of God. And the text says, he came to save anyone who believes. Now, that word anyone is an interesting word. That means everybody who believes. Everybody who believes. There's nothing that anybody has done that would disqualify them from having an opportunity to be saved other than dying in their sin. So since everyone in here is alive, and since everyone watching me is alive, here's what I want you to know. As long as you have life, health, and breath, and you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the text says the power of God can save anybody. Now, some of y'all didn't shout enough on that. And the reason is because you trying to pretend like you've always been the somebody you are, instead of remembering the anybody you used to be. Right? Because when you remember that your anybody was really a nobody, somebody in here who's not ashamed to admit that you didn't even like yourself. And it was only after you came to know Jesus as your Savior and the Holy Spirit started working on you that you actually was able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I think you're going to be all right. I think you're going to make it. And it was after the power of God began to move in your life. And watch this. You're not who you could be yet. Just thank God you're not who you used to be. And you're doing better now. And the power of God can help you do better in your tomorrow. He says you should be proud of the gospel, because the gospel can save anybody. And if nobody else is a witness, you are a witness. See, one of the things that we mistakenly do as Christians, we're not as transparent as we should be about our story and our testimony. I know I shock some of you when I'm really transparent and vulnerable, and some of y'all be like, man, whoo, pastor boy, look here, if he messed up like that and the Lord said, well, I know there's hope for me, right? But you have to communicate the good, the bad, and the ugly to let folk know that wherever they are never outside of the reach of the love of God. That all of us are just one decision away from turning our lives around. The story in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal who left his father's house, went to the hog pen and was about to eat the slop intended for the hogs. And the scripture says he came to himself. And whenever you have a coming to yourself moment and you recognize that you have a father who loves you, and you have a father who's there for you and wants to make a way for you, you just got to come to yourself. And he says we're just one decision away from coming to ourselves. That word salvation is an interesting word because it means deliverance. It means to be made whole. It's not something typically that we can do for ourselves, especially in the context of God. It's really God doing it for us. It's us saying, like Peter said on the sea when he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. It's you coming to a recognition that you can't save yourself, that you need somebody outside of yourself to save you, and the best person to call on is the person who has the ability to save you. Even in that story, You remember he cries out to Jesus and says, Lord, save me. He doesn't cry out to anybody who's in the boat. He cries out to Jesus and says, Lord, I need you to save me. And we come to a place and a point in life, if you're not careful, where you'll learn that you can't call on anybody else except God. And you need God to come in and do what only God can do. What is a person saved from? Let me give you three things. A, salvation means deliverance from being lost. Salvation means deliverance from being lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Salvation means that Christ seeks and saves a person from their lost condition, takes you off of the wrong road and puts you on the right road. You are not all you could be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. God has you in the process of turning you into his final product. He's molding you and shaping you and making you into what he wants you to be. Salvation means deliverance from being lost. It's a good thing when you're lost and somebody's looking for you. Because when you're lost, you need to be found. And somebody in here needs to testify to the fact that when you were lost, God found you. As a matter of fact, we talk about, I found the Lord. No, you didn't find the Lord, because the Lord was never lost. The Lord found you in your lost and in your broken state. Look at B. Salvation means deliverance from sin. Salvation means deliverance from sin. It means deliverance from mistakes, from corrupt ideas and thoughts, from moral impurity. Now, there are three aspects to deliverance. Write this down somewhere. Three aspects to deliverance from sin. First, once you accept Christ, you are immediately delivered from the penalty of sin. You are immediately delivered from the penalty of sin. Secondly, you are being delivered from the power of sin. You are being delivered from the power of sin. Watch this. You will never be on this earth in this flesh sinless, but you should be sinning less. You are being delivered from the power of sin. So what had hold of you in the past, you should be fighting and getting out of that grip. You shouldn't be doing what you used to do as much as you used to do it. And some things you ought to be putting down, because you are being delivered from the power of sin. And listen carefully, you will be delivered from the presence of sin. You will be. So you are immediately delivered from the penalty of sin. You are being delivered from the power of sin, and you will be delivered from the presence of sin. Now, one of the misnomers, misinformations that's being put out is that once you accept Christ, you now have the power to live above sin. The Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. The good that I should, that I don't do, and the evil that I shouldn't do, that I should do. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, from this bondage of sin, because I am in a perpetual battle. Dr. E.V. Hill used to say, the only way you can live above sin is to have an apartment above a sinner. Other than that, it's an everyday battle. And let me say this for somebody, because the Holy Spirit is putting this on my mind and my heart. If you are disappointed that a sin you thought you had overcome has come back on you, join the club. Come on, I need somebody who's not ashamed to say there's some sin in your life that's an everyday battle. I'm talking about thought, word, and deed. There's some stuff. Man, listen, the other day I was thinking some thoughts, y'all. I was thinking some thoughts that would have been, they would have been on an episode of Ghost. Tommy would have been saying some of the stuff that's coming in my mind. And I'm asking the Lord, I didn't say it, Lord, but I was thinking it real hard. You know what I mean? I was like, Lord, ooh, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. Lord, it's a day-by-day struggle. It's a day-by-day battle. And all you can do is get up every day and put one foot in front of the other and trust God intentionally and ask the Lord to give you strength. Look at C. Salvation means deliverance in the future from the wrath of God. Salvation means deliverance in the future from the wrath of God. This is a salvation that saves people from being separated from God eternally. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Salvation does not mean that God will deliver us from experiencing difficulty and danger in life. It does not mean that we get a pass from going through trials and tribulations in this world. What it does mean is that God gives us security and peace within our soul, regardless of what happens, that God gives safety independent of circumstances and our environment, and God gives inward strength and courage to fight the battle that comes at us every day. So let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that the power of God changed your life? Some of y'all can testify two times that if it had not been for the Lord. Some of you are watching me right now. Some of you are listening to me right now. And you being alive is a miracle. You should have been dead and gone. But it's the gospel. Have I got a witness here? That changed your life. Now watch this. Do you believe God has the power to change your life? And if you can say yes, here's the other question. Do you believe God can change somebody else's life? See, the Bible says God saves everyone who believes. Every nationality, every ethnicity, every people group. That the gospel is God's power and it can save anybody. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I stand here today as a living testimony to the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel found me when I was at my worst. And you may not think I'm a whole lot now, but I got news for you. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I'm still a work in progress, but thank God for the gospel, for the good news, for the power of God that's been working on my life. See, I was down and couldn't see my way up. I was out and couldn't see my way in, but the good news of the gospel
pick me up from the floor and turn me around. Somebody in here, you were lost and on your way to hell. But thanks be to God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel found you when nobody else could find you. But here's the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel was never ashamed of me. You see, it's not only what I did, but it's my thoughts that got me in trouble. It was my heart that was in a bad place. But thanks be to God that God looked beyond all my faults and he saw my needs. Have I got a witness here? For over 43 years, I've been preaching the gospel because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For 30 years, I've been here at the Good Hope Church, standing Sunday after Sunday to tell you the good news of the gospel, to tell you about a man who died and paid a price for your sins, who rose on the third day with all power in his hand. And anybody who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have I got a witness in here? Yes! Yes! God needs somebody who is not ashamed of the gospel. Because you know it's the power of God to change somebody's life. Somebody needs to make up in their mind to let God use them, to let the power of God move through you, to help somebody who needs Jesus to come to know Jesus, and somebody who knows Jesus to grow in Jesus, so that lives will be changed because you're not ashamed of what God has done in your life. Somebody right now, you may be looking, you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I hear you, but man, you don't know how many times I've messed up. That's just another testimony. Somebody said, well, man, nah, your life ain't all of that. Just tell him I'm an imperfect being serving a perfect God, but he's still working on me. He's still molding me. He's still shaping me. And God is not through with me yet. But when he gets through with me, I wish I had one or two witnesses in here who could testify, I shall come forth as pure gold. I'm still a work in progress. But when he gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Father, we thank you and we bless you for the power that has moved on us and in us. And now we pray, God, that you would allow your power to work through us. Use us, God. Use us to help somebody else experience your power in their life so they will no longer be a slave to sin, that they will no longer be in bondage to pain and brokenness and hurt, but help them to walk in what you have for them. We ask you, God, now to let your will be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.